The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the world's number one fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we talk about before and after pictures that are used to market fitness products and programs and why they're all baloney, why they're all crap, and why we don't use them. We actually give you five reasons why we don't use before and afters and why they fly in our integrity's face. Can't do it. Now, this episode is brought to you by Paleo Valley. They make some of the best paleo-based supplements around. Now, one of my favorites is their bone broth protein. There's literally no other ingredients in this protein powder. It's the most unprocessed protein powder I've ever had. It's natural as heck, unflavored, just bone broth, super easy on the gut. They also have grass-fed and grass-finished beef sticks. They're delicious on-the-go snacks and much more. Many, many products, all excellent. You got to go check them out. Head over to paleovalley.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump15 for 15% off your first order. Also, we only have 2 days left for our December special. MAPS HIT, that's high intensity interval training, and MAPS SPLIT, that's a bodybuilder split advanced workout program, are both 50% off. So they're both half off. If you're interested, head over to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code DECEMBER50, that's DECEMBER50 with no space, for that discount. One of the biggest conflicts we have with our marketing team, it's also costing us a lot of money, for sure, but it completely goes against our integrity as coaches and trainers. And so I think we need to talk about why Mind Pump does not use before and after pictures in our marketing, or why we think before and after pictures are bullshit.
The struggle is real.
It is.
Because you know how effective they are and how emotionally pulling it is to see that, you know, clear and distinct change in somebody. And then it's an immediate thought that, wow, if I do this, this is going to happen in a really short period of time.
Well, in the words of our marketing team, you guys are idiots. It's a proven formula.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to deny that that is true.
Can you name any piece of advertising that is more effective than a before and after in fitness and health? Nothing.
No.
Nothing is more effective. It will sell more. It will sell more faster. It'll get you more attention. Entire companies
have been built off this. That's included in all aspects of health, beauty, and fitness.
All of it.
Was it Body for Life, or what was that program that really highlighted?
They were probably the first one to take full advantage of this.
Before and after has been around forever.
I mean, they have been around forever, but they took it to a, you remember that you would open the book. I had the book. Did you have the book, Doug? I did. Yeah, you followed it. I bought the book. And you opened it, and I would say the first four pages, the back four pages, were all just before and afters, just amazing transformations.
Yeah. Oh, I bought so many products as a kid based off of before. Me Cybergenics too. Was a company that I bought. They sold a supplement system, which was literally 10 bottles of a bunch of stuff. And the before and afters were so dramatic. Literally, there would be an overweight guy who then looked like a bodybuilder. Like, it wasn't even like, you know, so-and-so lost 15 pounds. It was like, wow, that guy became a bodybuilder?
Yeah.
And I spent my hard-earned, you know, remember, I'm a 15-year-old kid. I'm washing dishes at a restaurant, and I'm saving my money, and it's like $200. This is back in 1995 or whatever for this guy. And it was the before and afters that did this. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. It's super effective. It's also one of the number one things we hate about the fitness industry that we grow up hating.
Well, what do you think is what's the psychology behind it? Why?
Oh,
why is it? Why does it work so well when people see a before and afters?
It taps into the way that our brains evolve to see evidence.
Yes.
So if I show you a study that says, you know, the study shows this percent increase or whatever, that's never going to be as effective as, especially someone, you know, a friend of yours who lost a lot of weight doing something. You're automatically be like, oh my God, that totally works because it's what they call social evidence, or and it's visual.
I also think there is a motivational component that it taps into too, because what happens is whenever someone looks at, and that's why I think Body for Life crushed this, because if what they did so well was so many different looking people, guys, girls, fat, tall, skinny,
you'll
black,
identify
white,
with one of them.
Somebody will relate. Yeah.
I think it does. You, somebody goes, oh my God, that's what I look like right now. And then they see what they look like afterwards. And then, so now they have a picture of what's possible for them, because that body, that guy has my body type right now, what he looked like 6 months ago. And now he looks like that.
And also I think it's really about the attention game. Right, like, what's the most powerful way to express that whatever it is you're selling them works? It's just a visual. It tells a lot of information in a very short period of time, and like, you don't have to read like all of the proof that backs it, or the system.
For sure, but it's got to be hitting like a very primal. Hot emotional, primal type thing, for because you see yourself. And that, I mean, so if I saw an ad for some pill or what that, and it was advertised to women, it was just a woman before and after.
You don't
that
care.
Ad doesn't hit me.
If it was a skinny guy,
that's right. Yeah. If he look, I mean, you know,
yeah, you gotta
6 foot
to
three
it.
Guy built like me, like look like what I look like before. Boy, that one would.
That's the one I bought, by the way. Yes, the Cybergenics had a hard gainer supplement stack, and that's the one I bought because I saw the skinny dude gain a bunch of muscle, and I was like, oh, this
proof of concept, right?
This definitely.
So I think that's what it is. I think that if you do enough of these, right, and you have a fitness business. You put enough of these before and afters, you throw up a picture of a percentage of these people that go, oh my God, that looks just like me. And now they are inspired because they go, oh, if he can do it or she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah. Now our marketing team has said this to us. Who cares how you get them in, so long as you teach them the right way and you show them the right workouts and the right diet. And they try to make the case that you'll attract more people that you can then help. And I've heard that before.
Right.
And there is some truth to it, but the problem with this is the way you enter into your fitness journey matters so much in terms of your sustainability that would start people off on the wrong foot. And it's so against everything that we stand for. In fact, when we first met, before we started Mind Pump, that was one, I don't know if you guys remember, that was one of the first things we said. Whatever we sell, we're not going to use these before and afters to try to sell our products, because how many of our clients fell prey to that, even while they were our clients?
Oh, yeah.
And how annoyed were you with your with this whole marketing system and what it did to
your clients? It creates an immediate expectation coming in that we would have to like basically overcome an objection right away and like sort of talk them out of that mindset.
It's tough though, because I've seen a lot of our transformations of people that have listened to the show for years.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Dude, it's not like we don't have before and afters.
Right.
We have hundreds of
legit
hundreds
ones.
And they're inspiring. So it's a catch 22, right? Like it's this weird, weird situation we're in where, man, we're not big fans of using that as a promotional angle. But boy, there's some of these incredible transformations that people have made that, you know, selfishly I want to share, because I'm like, look, these are people too that are, but then
I know
I know the message that's sending, and it flies right in the face of what I think we present on the show all the time.
Yeah, and what we stand for. I think, okay, so the first thing that I think that I, for me, that at least that's an issue, is that it sells the message that the aesthetics of your body and how they change as you exercise is the most important thing, or that's the only thing, right? Because what you see is looks, and people are already so fixated on aesthetics and looks when it comes to working out that what it causes for them is it, because when you're doing it the right way, let's say you're going to lose 40 pounds, when you do it the right way, it starts off slow. It's a slow process at first. If you're looking for sustainable, lifelong changes, if you want to just change your body and then go back to the way you did before, that's fine. But if you want sustainable results, it's a step-by-step process. It's a slow process. And so what it does to people is it makes them think that the visual is all the value, and they ignore all these other beneficial effects that they don't notice. You're like, I remember, how many times this happened to you, right? You get a client and you're doing everything the right way. This is later on when you became really good as a trainer, and they'd come to you and it'd be, I don't know, 2 months or 3 months into your training, you know, with them. and they'd say, oh, you know, I've only lost like 7 pounds on the scale. I don't know if this is really working. And then you would say to them, well, how's your energy?
Yeah. Like, oh, how's your sex drive? Yeah, how's your mood? How's work going?
And
it's going?
Like, oh my God, all that stuff is way better. And then they would start to like notice like, oh yeah, this is really valuable. But the point before that was that they were not aware, because what they were so focused on was just the look.
Well, that's the problem with like, okay, so let's take the Body for Life and you look at a page, let's say that's got 10 transformations on it. And let's say there's, you know, there's an obvious winner, like, oh my God, his transformation was the most amazing. And then there was somebody that, let's just say, had like the least physical transformation. But what the story doesn't tell was the guy that had maybe the least transformation on the visual, he got off drugs. His wife and him have a better marriage. He's been a more productive father.
Maybe he's recovering from a chronic illness.
Right. And like, I mean, just completely has changed this guy's life forever, but no one is talking about it because we're so fixated and focused
on how many abs are showing.
Yeah. Like who won the look transformation. And maybe the guy who won on the physical transformation, that guy already had a lot of those things in line in his life. And so it made the transformation for him literally X's and O's.
Or what if they did it in an unhealthy way?
Or, right.
Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, even better point.
Yeah, that's a big one, because you don't know the whole story of what happened, which is so important. And then it creates these kind of false expectations. In fact, before and afters have been around for a long time in the weight loss industry or whatever. And then there was regulations that said you need to put underneath, and they always do this in real small print, right? That, you know, users can expect, don't expect these results. It's all individual.
Results will vary.
Results will vary. They had to do that because they would get in trouble, but it doesn't matter. It still causes and creates these false expectations. So then you have somebody that enters into this whatever program or whatever that's selling their goods and services through this before and after. And now this person has that visual, like that's what's supposed to happen, that change.
Right.
But what people need to understand is the visual changes that happen through a fitness and health journey are the side effect of the health and fitness journey, not the primary effect. It's the side effect of improving your health. Now, if it becomes a primary effect, you start to sacrifice health, which always happens, and then you start to lose both. So you don't want to have those false expectations that are sold through before and afters. That's one of the main reasons why I never did that as a trainer, because this person has their own story, their own challenges. What's a win for them might not be a win for someone else, or might be a loss for someone. Like if I have a new client who has a bad relationship with exercise, has never done it, has maybe had some bad experiences, terrible diet, all that stuff, and she just was consistent one day a week for a month, and then she came in a second day a month and was consistent for 3 months. That could be, for that person, a huge win. Now, for someone else, that might be nothing, not a big deal. I'm 20 years old. I can show up whenever I want. I don't have all these, you know, things. I don't have this relationship with exercise like that other person. But that person who has that big win, if their expectation was based off of before and after, and how many times have you had this happen with a client? Man, I'm failing. And then you have to sit down and like point out the wins. Be like, what do you mean you're failing? Yeah. You came to me, you never exercised.
Well, it's an individual journey.
Yes.
And this is, I think, the biggest point we're trying to stress. Like each person, we have to take our own path. There's very specific needs that each person has coming in. And, you know, that's just like a fraction of the story. The byproduct, like you said, of all the work that we're putting in to rebuild the body and create a healthier, you know, body to keep you going further into the future.
Yeah, it's
the same reason why we don't like the 30-day or 60-day or 90-day challenges either.
Totally.
Because
effective marketing tool.
Right, yeah. I mean, what people are so focused on the outcome, and we're constantly preaching the journey.
Yes.
You know, you
enjoy the process.
Can I lose the most weight? Like all the offices, right? Every work in 1 month from now, there'll be all these offices across the country that will promote these, all right, weight loss challenges everybody's going to do.
Yep.
And it's all, you win a cash prize if you get whoever loses the most weight in the office. And everybody is focused on the result, the outcome, versus the journey on how they got there. And the truth is, if they're only focused on the outcome and they don't focus on the journey, it won't be sustainable. Guaranteed it won't be sustainable.
No. And it's not it's not just your opinion, Adam. The numbers are clear.
Right.
It's an 80%+ fail rate within a year of losing the weight that you're trying to lose if you approach it the wrong way, which is how most people do. So you are almost guaranteed to fail within the first year. Now, if you extend it 2, 3, 4, 5 years, the fail rate is north of 95%.
Yeah.
Why would you do anything? Why would you put so much effort into anything
and by
that's
going
to fail at that rate?
And by the way, all that really highlights is just how, you know, how radically different we all are and the ability for some people to just fucking stay dialed.
5%.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's all that highlights is that there's some people that have a different gear that can sacrifice for
machine
years
mode
and be miserable before they finally break versus most people that, like, after a year of it go, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to live my life like this.
No, you're 100% correct. It's all about the journey, and the result is great, but if you enjoy the journey and you do it the right way, you're always going to be on the journey because that's the part that you enjoy, that you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the changes that are sustainable. The focus on the result or creating those false expectations is almost a guaranteed way to get someone to approach fitness and health through a unsustainable, you know, 100% fail rate, you know, after 6 months or a year, right? And so what we don't want to do is start people off on the wrong foot. And with fitness, and maybe in some areas you can start on the wrong foot and then correct things.
Yeah.
But with fitness, starting on the wrong foot is almost guaranteed way to get you to screw up. Even if you start to change things later on.
To adjust at that point too. And I just think that this is one of those things that creates this sense of being in a race. Like all of a sudden now, you know, like I'm not getting this. I have to push harder. And like everything is just about, you know, getting as quickly to the finish line as possible and not, you know, being aware of what your body's trying to tell you.
You know what a worse outcome is that people actually have success with it. That's even worse when they actually utilize these challenges or use these transformations to motivate them to have success.
That short-term success.
Yeah, right? Because now they – I mean, how many times have you had a client like that where you picked them up later on and they love that stuff? They love the comparison stuff. They love the 30 –
What they'll say is, hey, I did this before and it worked.
Yes.
And then I'll say to them, well, why are you
for
here?
For like a couple weeks.
No, that was always my answer. Yeah. If it worked, why are you here?
That's right.
Oh, well, I couldn't stick with it. So did it work or did it not work?
Yeah.
No, it worked. No, it didn't. If it worked, you would not be here. And that's the big thing. I remember talking to a client years ago, and this was a gentleman who had a big setbacks in life. He had a back injury, then he got divorced. And anyway, he used to be fit and then didn't work out for a long time, gained a lot of weight. And he came and hired me, and we started working out. And this was maybe 6 months into training. And I remember he was really down on himself one session, and he's like, man, I suck. I used to, you know, be so consistent back in the day, and I don't know why this is so hard for me, this and that. And I sat down with him. I said, okay, let's figure out. You've been with me for 6 months. Let's look at all the amount of times you've worked out with me in that six-month period. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the stuff that we've changed with your nutrition. And I did the math, and I don't remember what it was, but I said, okay, you've averaged about 2 workouts a week with me since we started 6 months ago. And he goes, yeah, I can't believe I'm only working out twice a week. And I said, okay, how many days a week were you working out before you saw me? And he's like, he's quiet. And I said, 0. I said, sounds like a success to me. Sounds like you've done more than you did before. It's that, you know, that false expectation that people have, especially when they compare themselves to things that are not, that you can't really compare to, which I think brings us to the next one.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's the next and maybe the most dangerous part of all of this is encouraging people to compare themselves to other people.
Oh. It's a trap.
That's a big trap. That's a social media trap, period. Causes depression, anxiety.
The thief of joy, right?
Oh, I mean, you can, it's so hard to, you know, be kind of proud of your successes and acknowledge your progress when you're comparing yourself to someone else, which again, back to, you know, some of the earlier points, you don't know the whole story. All you're comparing to is this one factor, like, wow, they make more money. Wow, they look happier in these Facebook pictures with their family. Wow, they look more fit than I do and they got there faster.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're not a success, you're a failure. Now, no, I'm not as good as that person. This is failing for me, which leads to bad behaviors, right? You start to feel down on yourself. Either you'll A, stop doing what you're doing, or B, engage in unhealthy health and fitness behaviors like over dieting, over training, doing things that are not sustainable for yourself, taking all these diet pills, that kind of stuff. It's comparing yourself to other people besides in fitness is one of the biggest problems that people can encounter. And it causes a lot of bad things to happen.
I think it's worse today than it's ever been in our lives.
100%.
For the exact point that you brought up, like this didn't exist that long ago where, like if you were just 20 years ago, you could go a full year and maybe not see two people that have like six pack abs. Mm-hmm. Like literally, that would be totally normal. And this would be totally normal for someone who works out in a gym. That's how crazy it is.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to do this thing where when people would like compare and talk about, oh, this person and this body, yeah. and she looks so amazing. I would stand them up in the sales pit and have them like look across the gym.
Yeah, 150 people.
Yeah, 150 people in there, all busting us. These are all consistent people. It's a weekday in here right now. I said, show me five people that look that way in the gym right now. So yeah. This is totally biased. It's not. We're not in the mall. We're not in a random place.
Yeah, this is where people want to be fit.
And you couldn't find me five people. But yet today on social media, and let me tell you, the people that like these transformation pictures, that think that they're inspired and motivated by it, are the same people that also follow 20, 30, 50 different of these fitness influencers who go and diet extreme, take thousands of photos of themselves in short periods of time, use them to drip over the course of a year. And even if they don't, let's say there's somebody who's keeps their body at
neurotic
6% year round. And what you don't know is like how fucked up and out of balance the rest of their life is because they're so neurotic about their body. And you, as this person, this normal person who has a normal job and just wants to be healthy and fit, are following these people and constantly comparing yourself daily. And so you get this skewed perception of what the real world looks like, and it doesn't look like that.
It's so much more intense these days. Like the last time I remember even having access to looking at those type of visuals, it was magazines. And that's what we had. We had to go get the magazine, and then you would look at, oh, wow, like, look at these guys are amazing, or girls, like, with their bodies and everything. But and occasionally you get it on TV, but every single day you just scroll. And if you're following, you know, these people, it's just like a constant loop, a reiteration that you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You'll never get to this point.
Yep. And insecurities are often based off of comparison. I am skinnier than most people. I am fatter than most people. I am less happy than most people. I'm less attractive than most people. You know what? And by the way, this is statistically true. Not that it matters, by the way, because you have value no matter what, and you can be a good person or a bad person no matter what. But even if we look at the numbers, the odds are that 99% of anybody watching or listening to this, somewhere in the middle, meaning most people are kind of like you, right? Most of us are like that. Very few people are on the extremes. Now, what is presented in before and after pictures and what is presented in social media and in marketing?
Extreme.
Is that extreme?
Yep.
For example, if I lived in an NBA locker room, okay, or NBA courts, I would think I'm 6 foot tall, right? I would think I'm short. Like, my gosh, there's these, everybody's, you know, I wouldn't even think they're giants. I would be like, wow, I'm so tiny.
Yeah.
Everybody's like 6'8" or 7 foot tall. I'd have this distorted view of my height compared to others. That could become an insecurity, and that would only enhance the insecurity because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so.
Well, then you go home and all you follow is NBA players too.
Yeah.
So you're getting it double.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, and this happens with fitness marketing, and this is what before and afters do, because here's what happens. You go and you follow the program or the diet that the before and after is selling. You do it. And you do it for 30 days. And the before and after you saw is like, oh my gosh, this guy lost so, or this girl lost so much weight, looks so incredible in 30s. And then you do everything right, you know, into the context of your life. You're like, man, I've been more consistent than I've ever been. I'm eating right. I'm making all these changes. But because the metabolism is complex, bodies are very different. And again, you don't know the whole story. You lose 10 pounds, mm-hmm. which would be a lot in a month, probably more than you should. But let's just say you do that. Now, you're not happy. You're like, I suck.
That's not good enough.
I suck, man. This person lost 30 pounds. I look in the mirror and I'm like, yeah, I made some changes, but what the heck is wrong with me, right? And so what it does is whatever insecurity you have, it preys on it. Because you know how earlier we talked about identifying with the people in the picture?
Yeah.
Who you're identifying with is not the after, it's the before.
100%.
So who am I identifying in the before, right? Well, if I was a kid, I'm identifying with the hard gainer, skinny person. Ooh, that's hammering my insecurities, right? Or am I identifying with the overweight mom, middle-aged mom, or the overweight young ex-athlete, or whatever they choose to portray, right? So that's my insecurity. And what the 30-day, the transformation before and after pictures do is they take your insecurity and they prey on it.
Well, this is why marketing teams crush doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a small window, you know, 5 to 15 seconds on average, yep, to grab your attention. and telling you the whole laborious story about the journey and all the way is just not going to happen. And so what the quickest way is to hit you into the soft spot, hit you on your insecurity and make you feel bad about yourself and then sell you the solution. That it's like marketing 101, and it's a hell of a time being a business that is trying to do it in a different way when that's a proven formula. And I tell you, being honest, it's been very tempting to fall into that, being even told from the marketing team, like, listen, we
you'll double your sales.
Right. Well, we could get them in and then we'll teach them after that. And it's just like, it's so hard for us to do that, even if we know that our intentions are pure, that once we get them into our network, that we would then teach them the proper way.
Would be if they were willing to listen to the rest of what we're doing. But what it'll do is it casts a wider net. And what we're going to catch more of...
the people that didn't even want to learn in the first place.
Not only that, but just people who are already in that cycle of self-hate, right?
Right.
So you're already in a cycle of self-hate, and it's very hard at that point to get you to change those things. So I'd rather not do that. I'd rather not promote self-hate, because if you're exercising... I mean, how many times have I said this, right? If you're exercising and changing your diet because you hate yourself, it's not going to work, because exercise is a punishment. Yeah. Food is restriction, or tasty foods are a reward. And that already is starting, you're already starting off on this dysfunctional relationship with exercise and nutrition, which only leads to destruction. It only leads to failure.
You can only terrorize yourself for so long.
That's right. Now, here's the next point. And this is one of the bigger points as to why marketing is the way it is, because the most consistent results that happen, and what I mean by that is, when you actually examine people that do change their health in dramatic ways, and not just change it, but they maintain it for the rest of their lives, right? If you actually took people like that and interviewed them, and I know people like that, I've worked with them, I've trained people who went from never exercising, who had terrible diets, who then through a long, slow, working on behaviors type process, they became essentially permanent. You know, here we are 10 years out, and I still talk to these people, I'm still friends with them, and they're still maintaining it. So that's still that's a pretty damn good success rate, right? The most consistent results don't happen in 30, 60, or 90 days. Mm-mm. It happens later. You know, I tell the story of a friend of mine who, he wanted to lose 35 pounds. He's a friend of mine now. He's a client at first. He wanted to lose 35 pounds. He was an overweight kid, insecure, you know, gained and lost weight back over and over again, did the yo-yo thing. Anyway, luckily he decided he wanted to do the things the right way. I talked a lot about what we talk about in the show with him, and I coached him and trained him in that way. He lost 35 pounds in 3 months, 3 years after we started training, right? So we started training. He didn't lose the weight for 3 years. Lots of small changes happened in those three-year process. Then all of a sudden, the ones that really moved the needle finally clicked. By the way, he's never gained the weight back. They finally clicked, and in 3 months, the 35 pounds came off. Like, what kind of a before and after is that? Three years and 3 months later, here's your before and after. Those changes are not depicted in advertising, because if they were, nobody would buy that.
Well, it's preying on another thing that we want expedient, right? Expediency. Yes, we always
quick pill.
That's right. So that's the other part of these things, is that you know that you're doing that. It's tough, man. It's tough being in a business where we sell people on how to help them, and then to not be able to use the number one, probably one and two, right? Between transformation and challenges, are arguably number one, number two, low hanging fruit marketing tools that our space uses drive traffic.
This is how effective they are, that these before and after marketing tactics have been around for long enough to where if you took the average person and you asked them objectively, what do you think about these before and afters? Do you think this is sustainable? Mm. Do you think this is legit? Most people be like, no, that's not really realistic.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems suspect.
Still works. Yeah. Still gets them to buy something. That's how effective
there's some emotional draw to it.
Yes.
You know, like you said, it's that you project yourself into these people.
Yeah.
And if it's somewhat relatable, you can't help it, even though you know, like, maybe some of these aren't like super legit pictures I'm looking at, but it portrays this idea that this could happen, and this is so you.
I think it's subconscious, right? I don't think you even, I mean, maybe some people go, oh my God, that's me, I could do that. But I think a lot of people, it just connects and they don't even know it subconsciously.
Well, because it's like when you're
watching,
like,
have you ever, this happens to me all the time when I'm watching like I wish I knew what movie it was, but I'll watch a movie and like it'll be like this feel good, you know, comeback story or something. And the kid will have similar things that he went through that maybe I experienced in my childhood, and I get all emotional, yeah, right? Yeah. And it's because I know what's happening. I see myself as the character that they're portraying in the show because there's something I can relate or identify with. I don't actively go like, that's me. You know, it's just like, it hits this thing that makes this connection. And I think that just happens subconscious to people as they're going through all these before and afters. They see someone, they go, man, that's me.
So true. Try doing this. I don't know if you guys have done this. Watch a movie that you grew up watching as a kid. Watch it as a dad or as an adult. And then here's the funny thing that happens. When you're a kid, for example, I watched The Breakfast Club with my kids.
Oh, that's a great
example. And when I watched that as a kid, I was all pro the students. I was all pro like, yeah, that dickhead principal. What a jerk. Then I watch it with my kids and I'm like, these kids are, what is wrong with these kids? That principal, I'd be pissed off. Like, they're smoking weed in there. They're freaking running through the thing.
Bunch of degenerates.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're 100% right, Adam. You identify with that stuff. And so what before and afters are getting you to identify with are your insecurities. They're literally designed to make you feel like crap and to make you compare and then to sell you a false expectation. It all happens instantaneously and it gets you to take an emotional action, which is to buy their product or their service. And the fail rate, because of the way you start into that process, is so high. And this is, again, these are some of the reasons why we hate doing them.
Now, can we talk about, I love just throwing at least one company under the bus, but we started out talking about Shreds because they were the most prolific company that were using transformations and doing things,
doctoring,
and they got in trouble for photoshopping and doctoring.
Dude.
So let's talk about this as a subject by itself.
Well, then let me share something just to kick that off then, because this was so eye-opening for me, and I didn't know this until I got
I know what you're going to say. This blew my mind too.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Like, this is like a real thing that happens. I found this out when I was competing. And many of these supplement companies, health companies, anybody who's trying to sell a product that uses before and afters, actually hang out at the shows where all the competitors are.
Bodybuilding, physique.
This is mind-blowing.
Bikini. Bodybuilding, men's physique, and bikini. And really, they are looking for a certain body type, right? They're looking for a demographic of people. Obviously, if I'm selling some super jacked, whatever, I'm going bodybuilder. Like, if I'm like this kind of more health, I'm going to pick a body that's more like bikini or like that direction. So anyways, they go there and they look for the top five.
You know what they're looking for? A lot of people don't know this. They're looking for the after picture.
Yes.
This is the crazy part.
That's what they're shopping you. And then
they're shopping for the after picture.
And I've been approached this way where I've been offered $5,000. I think 5 and 10 are the two different offers I've been made on this, where a company will come up to me and say, hey, we'd like to pay you to do before and afters. And I'm like, oh, well, you're a little late. You know, like I'm here already. And they're like, no. We're going to pay you
to get— This is perfect.
We're going to pay to get fat.
Yep.
So we're going to take the pictures right now as they are your afters, and then all we need you to do basically is lay off the training for the next couple months and go ahead and eat in a surplus and enjoy yourself, and we just want to document that and we'll show it in reverse.
I remember when I first figured that out. I was 17 or 18, and I read an article by an anonymous bodybuilder. I don't remember what the magazine was. I think it was Muscle Media, and he said that exact thing. Then I went back and I looked at the before and afters that were in the bodybuilding magazines, and everything became clear.
Yeah, because you could see, you know what a body looks like when someone's got a great muscle base?
Yes.
And they just put on like 20 pounds
totally.
Of fat. And you could see that.
Yes.
And with a trained eye, you can real quickly start to put that together, and then it makes a lot
100%.
Of sense.
100%. I looked at it and I'm like, oh my God, this guy, this is the before and this is the after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the most popular and common trick that they do with before and
afters. Think about it if from their perspective, like, you got to do this. If you're going to pay someone, could you imagine?
It's way easier.
Could you imagine finding someone out of shape and saying, I'm going to pay you $5,000. I need you to look like this. Like, how many people would even be able to do that?
Yeah,
so you got to go find professionals.
You're paying for something that you don't even know what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
So this is already a proven, like, I see this as the after, and I want to keep this as like what I'm displaying. So now we just add the weight.
I mean, I believe they take it all the way to this level. Like, so you're say said company, you head to the, you're, and we need a girl, you know, this color hair, this color eyes, and about this size, and this is what we're looking for. So go find her. We need a male. Mm-hmm. We want him to be about this size, this color hair, this color eyes. Like, and then they go and they go look at the top five and go like, there's our guy.
You know who did this? You know who did this a lot? I wonder if we can find these online. They're old ads for Muscle Tech. Muscle Tech did this. they did this with bodybuilders like Johnny Jackson and other guys, and it would be a before and after. But really, what it was in season. It was in season, off season.
Yeah.
Bodybuilders, and they would pay them a lot of money.
It's easy to convince these guys to do this because they don't make a lot of money.
No, and also they're like
5 or 10 grand is a lot of money.
Yeah,
for
they're
a lot
like,
of
I'll take a couple months off. You're going to pay me $100,000
right.
or whatever.
I was going to eat cheeseburgers and chill for next month anyway. So it's a win-win for them.
It's crazy. And then there's a second part to this that is now, especially with the current technology. Oh yeah, so there's some before and afters right there. Very clearly, you can see that they switched the before and after.
Well, yeah, and what we were saying that, and I didn't know how to look like this until look at this and see it as well as I do now. I've obviously trained long enough, trained in a lot of clients, also been competitive. And I know what a good solid muscle base looks like when you just pile on, 10, 15 pounds of fat versus somebody who has built muscle and also burned body fat to get shredded that's coming from a really sedentary body. You can tell a very, very, very obvious and clear once you know what to look for.
Now, you also have with current tech, and this is harder and harder to identify, it's impossible for the naked eye, which is this Photoshop technology. And they make subtle changes to pictures that look profound to the human eye.
Oh,
And by the way, marketers have been doing this before the technology existed. They used to do like where they would airbrush photos, the fashion industry.
Magazines
did this.
Definitely.
This is happening. I'm going to go even further on this. This is happening on a basic influencer level too.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how Shreds got called out so bad because of like the Devin Physique guy and I think Joey Swole. And so they were just doctoring their own personal photos.
Yep.
It wasn't.
They were made an example of.
Encouraged to do that because it's. I mean, that's what they're selling.
Right.
Is their body.
But they were made an example of, they weren't the only ones.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Doing
oh, and
they're
it's still
the most popular.
And it still happens. I mean, I've told you guys before, I've got, nieces and stuff and nephews that they all use that Facetune app and they do these little things to make, it look more dramatic or make their waist look smaller and then better. And then they're pitching a product at the same time. And you have no idea that that's being subtly adjusted. And there's this, they justify it. That magazines have been doing this forever. Yeah. So how am I any different?
How am I different?
Yeah.
Well, you got, I guess one of you guys has to describe too, like just if you were to get a good pump and good lighting and you can almost manipulate this like within a day.
Bro, I'm not going to do this because again, this is
posture and everything.
I'm not going to do this because I know this is against what we would say, but if I posted my flat non-pump standing picture to my pumped picture post-workout, and I could easily sell those as a before.
You know
and after.
What? I'm going to actually challenge you to do that because you're in the best shape to do this right now and can show probably the most extreme version of this out of all of us. And I did this a long time ago on my Instagram. So I actually would show people this. I would be like, this, and I would intentionally deplete. So I'd love for you to do this one day, maybe do a fast.
No, I don't even have to do that. I'll do it same day.
But I want to show somebody how extreme you can make something in 20. That was my point.
Oh, yeah.
Was how extreme can I show you a difference in my body within 24 hours with no Photoshop, no nothing, just manipulating carbs, water, and a pump. And I showed people like this crazy difference.
Well, don't forget lighting and posing.
So if you take and just deplete, so either do a fast or carb deplete for a day or two and don't lift, do a morning, no pump, nothing, photo flat. In front of them, you're flat, no pump, no water, no food, no nothing. And then literally the next morning, take the rest of that day after you take that before picture, load up on your food, carb up, eat, drink, and then sodium up, everything. And then the next day, same thing, carb, calories, and then get a massive pump and take a photo and put it in your. I would love for you to share that because I think you would show the most dramatic difference right now.
So I remember when, by the way, when you take off the blinders to all the stuff, everything starts to become very obvious. I remember it was early 2000s, and this is before the pre-workout market even existed. A lot of people don't know this, but the pre-workout market, as big as it is now, didn't exist before. There was no pre-workout market. The first one was like Ultimate Orange, which came out in the 90s, but it was that they really sell it as a pre-workout. One of the best companies to do this was Gaspari. Gaspari had what's called Super Pump 250 was the name of the supplement, and he promoted it as a very smart, very brilliant marketing, improves the pump. Like, everybody likes a better pump. And then what he did, which I thought was so brilliant, is he did before and after the workout pictures. So he said before the workout, after the workout, and you would see this insane pump. And you knew this is the same guy in the same day, but it doesn't matter. It was so effective. I remember looking at those before and afters going, oh my God, he's literally selling how people look with a pump and saying it's because of this product, which is insane. And he sold so many of those products, and that market it literally exploded. It became this huge thing because you do look very – by the way, the more muscle you have, the crazier your pump after looks.
Yes, right. And we film up.
This is a lot of what they do. Like, you could take someone and have them stand kind of like whatever, take that picture, flat, stand. Then you could have someone get a crazy pump, stand with a certain angle, better lighting, and it looks like there's 15
Flex
pounds.
Really hard.
Oh, yeah. It looks like there's 15-pound difference in muscle. They also do that with these before and afters. They'll even go so far as to spray tan lines into people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that for every every shade darker, you look a percentage leaner.
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw it in an article a long time ago that broke that down, that said that for every shade darker that you are, it looks, you get an X percent leaner.
This is why
looking.
They paint like that crazy brown paint all over these competitors.
Right. Yeah, in real life, you look so crazy, but then on stage, you're like, oh, that looks kind of good. Yeah, so, I mean, look, here's the deal. Like, no hate on companies and fitness people that use before and afters. They are very effective.
Just shaming, that's all.
I do think
just we're better than you.
I do think a lot of them have good intentions. I also think a lot of them have nefarious intentions. Nonetheless, it's a very effective marketing tactic. In the 7 years Mind Pump has existed with the podcast and selling programs, we've never really used before and after pictures. And again, this is why it's so counter to our integrity and why we started in the fitness industry in the first place, that we just can't with good conscience use them unless we figured out a way to do it that matched with our integrity. But we have yet to do that. So there you have it. And by the way, and I do want to, now I'm about to put the responsibility on the viewer and the listener, okay? These before and afters, as bad as they are, and the lies that they may sell or whatever, they don't work unless we buy them. Mm-hmm. So as a consumer, it's up to you to, you know, we are conscious, intelligent humans. We're also animals. And the struggle is always, can I use my frontal lobe and my conscious to overrun or overrule this animal instinct that makes me behave in ways that may not necessarily be best for me. And so as a consumer, when you're going through social media or looking at products, remember this.
You should unfollow everybody that you're – if you're someone who's – I mean, I'm not going to tell people that are in the competitive world that are doing whatever, but if you're the average person who just wants to be healthy, fit, and in shape, I would encourage you to unfollow people that are using their body daily as a way to motivate you to get in better shape. I think that's—
It's doing more harm than good.
Exactly. I think that's counterproductive.
Totally. Look, if you like our information, head over to mindpumpfree.com and check out all of our free guides. We have guides that can help you with almost any fitness or health goal. You can also find all of us on Instagram. So Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump Sal, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.